B-Mitch, this might surprise you, but Brendan Porath actually texted me last night to request "Turn Down for What" as his walk-up song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a big Little John guy. Brendan, what's up, dude?
That's absolutely not true. That's absolutely not true. Not a terrible tune, but it's fine. Wouldn't be my choice.
Our friend Brendan Porath, head of content for Fried Egg Golf and co-host of the Shotgun Start podcast. You see him all the time on TV. Shotgun Start now on CBS Sports Network. Dude, I know you've had a busy week. Thank you for making time for us. Ryder Cup picks come down. Keegan doesn't take himself. What do you make of all of it?
I mean, it was an agonizing choice. It was the right choice. I feel sort of terrible for him. He's been one of the 12 best American players this year and would be a pick in any other year in which his name was not also the captain. The irony is he was given that captaincy sort of as a, I don't want to say make good, but a nice little treat for getting snubbed last time. He got legitimately snubbed in 2023 when they went to Italy. And it was documented on the Netflix show, and sort of like that pain and the snub became more high profile, and there were pictures with it all. Mm. And the PGA of America was like, all right, why don't we make you the captain? And sort of a, I think, a make good really for that. And he was excluded. He's not a social guy with, you know, and the guys were younger. He didn't fall into the age group of a Thomas and a Spieth and Ricky Fowler. He was just older, more of a loner, and he didn't have the sort of the political network to get on the team. And so they give him the captaincy, and that becomes the primary blocker to him getting it this year. So this treat or this make good ends up like what keeps him out of playing. And it's all he's really wanted to do since 2014 was last time he was on the team. He just means so much to him. He's one of like the sort of a heartbeat and emotional leader, firecracker really in those 2012, 2014 teams. And then he couldn't pick himself. He gets to the situation where too many guys started playing well towards the end of the year, end of the summer, and there were too many better options. And this notion of playing captain just isn't a tenable one in 2025. Being a captain is this massive time suck, massive organizational pressure that it's really challenging. You need to be a lock, a qualifier lock, a top five American to do it. And even then, it's not advisable. The Euros would have been celebrating if he decided to play and captain. And so he made the right choice, no matter how painful it was.
But if he goes out there and they win and they have a great showing, they destroy the Europeans, then wouldn't that give him a little bit of some grace, like he'll feel good about it?
Yeah, I think so, but they can't let the result dictate the process right now. Like, and I think even worse or even riskier than that would be the insane pressure of him playing and playing poorly and then the captaincy going sideways. Like, he's on the course. You got to be setting the afternoon lineups. Remember, they do the double session.
Yeah.
And that's going on. They're setting the lineups while those first four matches are being played, and he can't do that if he's playing. So you're automatically like putting a cap on the amount of matches he plays. He can't do two matches in a day, probably. He just can't. And, you know, maybe the 12th, 11th guy on your team isn't going to be tabbed for that anyways, but why automatically put that cap on someone before they even get to the week? You know, it's too much of a job. And I get it. If he plays and plays well, that would be an incredible story, but I don't think you can let that potential outcome dictate the right process now, a month before.
Talking with our friend Brendan Porath here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can listen to Brendan and Andy on the Shotgun Start podcast. So Keegan, I think, does the admirable thing, probably the right thing. I kind of wanted him to do it just because it would have been nuts. But what do we think of the 12 that they've picked? Six we knew, the auto qualifiers, and then the six captains picks.
Well, you make a good point. Like, PGA of America, for what I understand, was really pushing for him to pick himself. Because at the end of the day, this is like an exhibition. It doesn't mean a ton. Does it? Like, you can't, I guess you could say the Olympic basketball is an exhibition, right? They're not playing for money. But of course, that doesn't mean it's not competitive. It is a 3-day exhibition. It is an entertainment product. It is a booming television business. And the better story, more interesting story, is if he picks himself. And I think the PGA of America was secretly hoping, if not outwardly pushing him to do it.
Yeah, well, if things go wrong.
Right.
They wouldn't support him after it goes wrong. I promise you that, when he becomes the butt of every joke.
That's true. And think about, like, this isn't any just any home game. It's New York. It's Long Island. They're pretty vicious. Even when it's not an adversarial, it's just 150 guys playing a PGA championship.
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, a bad Yankees manager or a Knicks coach or a Giants coach, like, and it's going, or Jets, it's going bad. Like, they get all over them. Oh, yeah. And so if he was a captain and started to go bad and he's playing, like, it's not just any home game that's in Wisconsin or Minnesota or something like that. It could have been ugly. And so I think it would have been more entertaining for him to be the captain. But what we ended up with was Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin.
Bryson.
Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, Bryson made it on points, which is kind of amazing. So he made it on points with only – because half his live events don't count. So he made it on, like, eight events only.
Damn.
Kind of crazy.
So how does that work? Is there any strife with Bryson, or that's all out the way?
No, it's all good. They've done that really since Liv was created. They figure, like, look, we need the 12 best guys, figure out a way. Now, it's not a PGA Tour event, so they're able to do it. Like, President's Cup is owned and operated by the PGA Tour. Those guys can't play that one. PGA of America, I know it's probably confusing. They're different. It's different from the PGA Tour, so they're allowed to bring in Liv guys. European Tour has figured out how to get their Liv guys. Jon Rahm is going to play for Europe. So there's no real strife or anything. Koepka played last time. Bryson's a unique guy. I don't know that, like, he gets along with a lot of the Americans on his team, whether they're tour members or live players. Doesn't really matter. He's just kind of a quirky dude.
Yeah,
but,
very much.
They'll figure out a partnership for him and let him play. And he should have been on the team. No question that. But we have, like, with these picks, Keegan would have been a compelling option because we've kind of lost some of the characters. On the American side, like, Spieth isn't in it. Brooks Koepka wasn't good enough. Ricky Fowler wasn't good enough. Phil Mickelson is off the stage. Tiger is off the stage. And that was always going to happen. But this had always been – Best Page is, the biggest Ryder Cup ever because it's New York. The Ryder Cup is big business now. They had targeted this one for years. It was going to be 24 before the pandemic hit. Now it's 25. But they have been targeting this one. It's going to be the biggest and best ever. It was always supposed to be Phil's captaincy. Mm. Now, think about that, the Long Island crowds and Phil just whipping him up. He lit that on fire, not a chance to do it. And so we've lost a little bit of the American characters involved with this team. That said, it's still the 12th best. It's the best outcome given form and the seasons they've had. Mm.
Go ahead, B.
Who you think is favorite? What side?
The Americans are, right, for sure. They're absolutely...
The Euros are good, dude.
They're great. They're totally locked in. But the Ryder Cup, the dirty little secret of the Ryder Cup, it hasn't really been competitive since 2012, since Medina in Chicago when they knocked us off at home. And the home advantage is substantial. It's setting up the course. It's the crowd. For whatever reason, they haven't really been close Ryder Cups in over a decade now. And so – being at home, they're absolutely favored. That said, Rory McIlroy said the hardest thing to do in golf, one of the great achievements he has left or he wants to do in his career is win another away Ryder Cup. And they're set up as well as you possibly could. It's a continuity thing. They have the same captain as last time, same captaincy, assistant captaincy group. They are going to come with probably the exact same roster as 2023, substituting one Højgaard twin for another Højgaard twin, so it's essentially the same 12 guys. And yeah, they're as set up as they could be. They're playing well, more or less. Most of them are playing well, and yeah, they're set up to knock them off for sure.
I remember I don't know how long ago this was, but didn't, like, Boo Weekly have this, like, epic Ryder Cup run when he was? I don't remember how long ago that was, maybe 10 years ago or something. But Boo Weekly was hardly like a household name and then had this epic Ryder Cup run that really vaulted him into like a different category. Is there somebody you think that could do that this year? I kind of think Ben Griffin might be the crazy, ballsy guy that could like emerge.
He would probably be the one if there is a candidate. Buweek, I think that was 08, Valhalla Ryder Cup. Damn. They brought those like good old Kentucky boys, him and J.B. Holmes. He was like riding his driver like a horse off the tee box of Valhalla, doing all this goofy stuff. And then you had these like proper British guys looking at him like offended that he was acting out.
Yeah, he did the Happy Gilmore.
Yes, riding the bull. And it's like Ian Poulter was all pissed off. But I think Griffin would be the one candidate. Kind of an incredible story. He had quit golf and was going into being a mortgage officer like 4 years ago.
Wow.
You know, last time a Ryder Cup was at home in the U.S., he had given up on golf and writing mortgages, and now he's one of the 12 best Americans on the team. I'm not familiar with this, but apparently he's big on TikTok with all the youth. So maybe he is a guy that pops off the page. He creatine overdosed, he said.
B, have you heard that story?
He what?
Yeah, tell B-Mitch that story, dude.
So at Baltimore, Kays Valley, 2 weeks ago, he started with like a triple or quadruple bogey, four-putted from 4 feet, then a double, and then a bogey. He was like six over through his first three holes, and he claimed he overdosed on creatine, like on the first hole. Like he got a snowball of creatine in his shake. He's been big on creatine. He credits it with like him getting much better at golf again this year. And he said he overdosed. Like, no, we've had a bunch of gym guys and trainers. Like, that's not possible. You can't
do that. Yeah, overdose on it.
No. I think he was just dehydrated and shaky. He definitely was messed up because he shot, like, he made, like, 10 birdies after going eight over through his first three. But, yes, that made him pretty popular amongst, like, the gym guys and added a little bit to his profile. So he could be the guy that pops for the American.
Keep talking about all that creatine. He might get popped. He may think he's doing something else.
I don't know why this is personal. I've never met the guy or anything. I'm really glad Cam Young got in. I know he's a New York guy. Like, the way he hits the ball a mile, I imagine he's just a good setup for Bethpage, right?
He better be straight.
He's pretty straight. He's a great course fit. He hammers the ball. He's from New York. He's from Mets. They tried to say some English media guy got confused, thought he was from the Bronx because he went to Fordham Prep. He's like, he grew up in like the nicest country club.
He's
in
like
America.
From West
definitely
West.
Not from the Bronx. Yes, not from the Bronx. But he is a New Yorker, has played Bethpage a ton, won a junior, set like records there when he was a junior. And a super good course fit. He crushes the ball, which is what you want big boppers for Bethpage. The greens aren't that interesting. You know, putting sort of, you know, equalized there. The other thing is like Europe players, there used to be a real distinction between the games, right? The Euros were kind of straight and shorter and played links golf and were more creative and would shape shots, and Americans were just power, and they would just hammer the ball. Well, that's like, it's all sort of consolidated. Everybody's the same. That's how you succeed in golf, is you hammer the ball. Yep. And the Euros are just as long and powerful as the Americans. You talk about Rory McIlroy, Ludwig, Hovland, people like that. It's all a power game. And so that sort of distinction between preferred style or play doesn't really exist anymore. And so they're just as well suited. Most of their players are just as well suited to Bethpage as ours are, but few are better suited than Cameron Young. He should be, the guy's a dial tone. I mean, he's not going to wow you with any of his commentary. He's probably not going to incite any drama. not going to. that's right. He's just deadpan guy all the time, but his game is exciting, so he's not going to be in there mixing it up or anything, but he does hit it a long way, and he should perform. He's been playing really well.
All right.
BP, thanks for the time, man. I know you're going to be busy. We'll be listening to Shotgun Start.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
That's our friend Brendan Porath. Give him a follow at Brendan Porath, P-O-R-A-T-H. Really, really good golf content from the Friday Egg Shotgun Start crew. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel has given you a reason to lock into college football season early. I watched a lot of it last night. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. That's right, bet $5 on any bet. And if you win, you'll walk away with $300 in bonus bets to use all over the app. You can use those bonus bets on week one lines, Heisman futures, over and unders, player props, whatever you've got circled on the college football calendar. FanDuel is easy to use, safe, and when you win, you get paid instantly. No waiting around, no hassle, just the money straight in your account. So if you got a team, a take, or a gut feeling before kickoff, now's the time to back it. Just head to FanDuel.com/Brian and sign up to get started. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.